We will be in Galatians chapter 3 this morning. You know, we had a couple of great meetings last week with Jeff and Nancy Clark, and we took a little bit of a break through our study of Galatians, but now we're going to go back to our verse-by-verse exposition of the book, and here's a reminder of what God's been saying so far through Paul to the groups in the region of Galatia. He's been telling them about how they're saved by faith in Jesus, not by the works of their hands, that it's not the law that gets us in right standing with God. Only Jesus was able to do that. The law, it had its appropriate time. It had the correct time that it was needed. It demonstrated our inability to follow it, how we're too weak on our own to do the law on our own. But Jesus, he was able to fulfill it. He did it all perfectly, all while he was 100% a man on this earth. And that is part of the good news of Jesus, that he made it so that we didn't have to try to fulfill the law. He made it so that we do it by faith in him. Paul had reminded us that we don't answer to man, that ultimately we answer to God. So we watch out for our brothers. Even if it's an unpopular thing, that just because somebody has popularity or influence doesn't mean that they might not miss God themselves from time to time. So we must remain humble in God. We must let him be the one that's in control. He's the only one that can make a way for us. He's the one who shows us what's next, what step to take. But we're to follow it out of obedience to him, pushing past our own flesh, and leaning entirely on him. I'll say Galatians has definitely been a book of faith for us. You know, typically I always think of the book of Hebrews when it comes to faith, specifically Hebrews 11. We recognize a lot of faith that's called out and described in that book. But Galatians has been another book of faith that just continues to pour out the more that we press into it. So we're not actually moving any further than where we left off last time. You know, I thought we would move on to the end of this chapter and into chapter 4 this week, but I just kept hearing faith over and over when Jeff and Nancy were here. And it's not just in the teachings that they had, but it was in a lot of the conversations that we were having with them as well. It's a timely word of faith right now for us. It's recognizing that faith is where we are at. So instead of pushing past it, we're going to press into it. So as I was reading the text for where I was intending to go this morning, I did what I normally do when I look at any scripture and I start reading before it and after it. So I went back to reading what we were talking about right before where we were moving into, making sure that I'm not taking anything out of context, making sure I'm not reading it in my own eyes, but through Holy Spirit's eyes. But I couldn't help but see all these faith nuggets that are just jumping out at me. So we have that word of faith being delivered this morning. In particular, here's the nugget that Holy Spirit was showing me last weekend. I'm going to give you guys dessert first, so to speak. That way, if you guys doze off during the message, you got a good old slice of cheesecake before you dozed off. So here's that dessert. God makes us promises, but we must pursue them by faith. So now that you guys know the truth that I've been chewing on since Jeff and Nancy left, here's what happened when I went back to continue preparing for this next message in the series. These words of faith and promises together are just jumping off the page at me. And I was practically skimming over this passage as we were talking about receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit by faith on Pentecost just a few weeks ago. So in Galatians 3, starting in verse 15, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls it or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He did not say, antecedes, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Verse 19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through the angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is then the law against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But then the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, they were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We are absolutely supposed to embrace the promises by faith. All throughout the Bible, it's full of promises that God made to his people. God tells people he will do something. If God says that he'll do it, he's faithful to do it. He won't lie. A promise is only as good as the one making it. God's promises can be trusted. God's promises can be banked on. God doesn't forget about what he said. He doesn't go, well, I know I said that, but you know, who would have thought we would have a month of no rain? He doesn't say, well, yeah, I said that then, but now the finances got a little tight. No. Nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing's not something that he doesn't already have known how it's going to happen. If he said it, he will do it. But we have to receive those promises by faith. Even when it doesn't happen how or when we thought it would, we still have to trust God and believe him by faith. Even when it doesn't happen we have to trust God by faith. He's never late, he's seldom early, and he's always on time, because it's in his timing. See, the promise is there, but we have to stand in faith to believe it. We have to operate in faith to pursue it. Abraham's a great example of this. See, Abraham had promises that God had made along the way. The very first one that I usually think of is where God told Abraham to go to a land that he will show him. Let's look at that in Genesis 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from all your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Tabernath tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. God had given this promise to Abraham. Abraham got the promise that God would be making him into a great nation. but it required God doing what he was telling them to do. It required an action of faith on his part. See, God had told him what the promise was, and he revealed the next step. Now, I give Abraham props here because he did it with so little information. See, God didn't even tell Abraham where the land was that he was going to show him. God didn't tell him even which direction to head when he got off the path out of Haran, whether he needed to go east, west, north, south. It was almost a game of hot and cold on whether or not it was the land that God was showing him. So Abraham had just gotten onto the road when he would get the next piece of where he was going. But it was that act of faith in leaving that activated that next step. So then we see how Abraham did act on that promise, how he followed through with it. And then God gave him another promise after he operated in faith. You know, that would be a great story. But then we hear over and over where God gives Abraham another promise. He had told him that he'd be a great nation, but Abraham wasn't seeing the answer to the promise yet. So let's pick up now in Genesis 15 in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." Verse 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Now look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness." Abraham had received the promise, but there would still be work to carry it out. See, God showed Abraham how he was his great reward, how he was his promise. But Abraham was a bit concerned. You see, children were a blessing back then. Children were your retirement plan, your 401k, your pension, so to speak. Children were a show of your wealth. They were a measure of your worth. So with the promises that God was making and the natural circumstances that Abraham was in, he wasn't tracking. He wasn't following where God was going with it. He was thinking, man, without kids, this other guy that never came from my loins is who will inherit all of this. So God told Abraham that he would multiply his descendants more than you could number. Does that mean that Abraham could just prop his feet up and say, "Well, God said it, so it'll happen"? No. And say, in fact, verse 4 is a promise and an indicator of how our faith must partner with God's word. "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." See, the promise was that Abraham would have an heir, and a legitimate one at that, one that's the real deal. But it was also prefaced that it would be one that came from Abraham's own body. That was going to take an action on Abraham's part to make that happen. Him and Sarah would need to have a baby. They would need to partner with God's word and act on it. There's only one time in the Bible that didn't happen, and that wasn't until Jesus. But yet, at 100 years old, they were taking the necessary actions to make it happen. Sarah would have to carry a pregnancy at her age. She would need to go through everything that a pregnant woman goes through. She would carry Isaac to full term. She would go through labor to deliver it. So we continue to see these promises made to Abraham again in Genesis 17, starting in verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land which you are a stranger. All the land of Canaan is as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Jumping down to verse 15, Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and I will also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then verse 19, Then God said, No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. I think this is something that we can start to relate to. Sometimes we get a word from God multiple times, almost to the point where we hear that word from God, and we cry out and ask, Lord, how long before this comes to pass? We try pointing it back at God and crying out to him about it, but he's saying it's right in front of us to start pursuing it. See, we want to have the word come to pass, and he wants to perform the word, but it takes us partnering with his word. So God's given us something through Jesus that most Old Testament people would have loved to have, Holy Spirit. See, we have Holy Spirit to remind us of his promises. We have Holy Spirit to show us the actions that we're to take to go with it. The Old Testament, they pursued the promise by honoring God with the law. They tried to keep the Old Testament law. They heeded the instructions. They followed the traditions. They did what those who were chosen to be the prophets communicated. They went after pursuing the promise. The promise was the seed of Abraham. The law pushed them to the promise of Jesus. It all converges on Jesus. Every promise ends up being found in Jesus. That faith, it is found in Jesus. That's where it boils down to. The promise of Jesus was superior to the law. The promise of Jesus was the answer to the law. The law put the focus on the one who would fulfill it. The promise of the seed of Abraham would give us the promise of Jesus. The promise of the heirs of Abraham would be found in our being counted as those heirs because of Jesus. Isn't that kind of cool, though? How Jesus brings us back to the promises that God made long ago. Back in the beginnings of the nation of Israel, when it was just a twinkle in Abraham's eye. So the promise that God had for Abraham in Genesis 15:1, After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. That is still for us today. God is our shield. He is our exceedingly great reward. He is our great promise. And he's the only one that could bring about that promise. But we have to pursue him by faith. Not let it be, well, He said it's going to happen, so it's going to be mine. It requires action on our end. It requires us pursuing that promise. God said that he's not done with this church yet. Yet if we just take it easy, if we set it on cruise control, if we do a romp appeal, you set it and forget it, and we say, well, God said he's not done with us yet, is that very good stewarding God's promise? No. We're meant to still do things for the kingdom. We're meant to gather regularly with the body. We're meant to be interacting with those around us, our neighbors, our co-workers, demonstrating the love of Jesus. We're meant to bless this community, not write them off as a little podunk of Rochester. We're meant to bless this community where God has planted us at. We pursue that promise by faith in doing what God is desiring us for us to do. See, God desires us to do kingdom living here on the earth. So we do that by faith. Consider the story we see in the Old Testament. We've talked about the promises made to Abraham, giving him the land that God had promised to him. You know, if there was only a name for that land that he had promised him. You know, like the promised land. You'll get that joke later. And so Abraham wasn't around by the time they went to Egypt. But these stories were passed down. The God stories of God talking to Abraham. The angels visiting him. The words about Isaac. The promises that God had made to Abraham's descendants. But they started out on that journey from Egypt, and they began to grumble. They hadn't even made it across the Red Sea, and they accused Moses of bringing them out there to die. See, God had showed them that he was the one leading them out of the captivity of Egypt, how he even made the Egyptians bless them as they left. Yet they got to the wilderness, and they complained. They desired what they had been around previously. They wanted the garlic and the onions, the leeks. They wanted the meat. They weren't thinking about the promise. They complained. Have you ever been around a complainer? I can imagine it was something along these lines. How much further? I thought we should have been there 35 years ago. Who put Moses in charge of leading us? I think Moses' compass is broken. I'm sure Caleb and Joshua were thinking that they were wanting to tell them all to just shut up. That their complaining, their unbelief, it was taking the Israelites another trip around the mountain instead of taking them into the promised land. Unbelief is what was keeping them out of the promised land. But faith is what took Joshua and Caleb into the promised land. Their act of faith was not going with the fear that the other 10 men who went down to Canaan, but it was speaking up and encouraging God's people to trust in him. But the words of the others condemned a whole generation from receiving the promise. We shouldn't condemn the promise that God has promised us. We must pursue God's promise by faith. See, every step of the way is by faith in Jesus. You know, this is something that Ashley and I have recognized in our own lives. I'm sure a lot of people had thought that we were thrown into ministry without any warning. But God had been telling us that for some time, that he was putting us into ministry. God had been showing us how we care for his people, how he had been giving us prophetic word after prophetic word. And I remember we had a bit of an Abraham and Sarah moment there at one point. He had a word for us so strong that you knew it came from God. You know, talk about reading our mail. And I remember Ashley and I looked at each other and we asked ourselves, how many more times are we going to have this prophesied before we get it? Before we do something about it? And that next week is when I had enrolled in the ministry education. Little did I know the timeliness that that would be. So I had rolled in the classes, and I found the rhythm, the balance to work and have a family and take the classes. Got through that four-year degree in just two, and then COVID hit, and everything got accelerated. We went from what we thought would be a transition to what was a quick transition. But God knew. God had been preparing our hearts with His Word. He had been desiring us to partner with His Word and bringing about our actions, our faith, to take that faith step, partnered with His Word. Made that prophetic to be realized. And that's the way God designed the prophetic. It's not something that we shy away from, but we lean into it. See, God's words will come true. But there's an expectation of our faith to go with it. More than ever, God wants us to partner with His Word. He is that loving Father. He makes promises to His children. He wants us to pursue His promises with our faith. We have to follow through with our faith. Faith without actions doesn't really mean a whole lot. Faith isn't really faith until we walk it out by faith. He is amazing, but we have to grasp that by faith. Faith is something that we have to have, our own faith. I can't have it for you. Your parents can't have it for you. Your spouse can't have your faith for you. The relationship that we have with Him is good. But it's a relationship that we have to have with Him out of our own faith. So verse 22 of Galatians 3 really stuck with me when I read it again this week. I'm going to read it again for all you guys now. It should be on the screen. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. We have the answer right there. Promises have to be received by faith. So we receive the promise of salvation by putting our faith in Jesus. We receive every step of the promises by faith. So when God says that He'll do something, we just have one question for Him. What is it that you'd like us to do to live out the faith that we have to see this come to pass? Is this promise something that you're looking to do a work in me? Is this promise something you're looking to do a work through me? We may be tempted to put it on a shelf. And then God gives us that word again. And that's a good indicator that it's something that we need to press into. Not to try to make something happen, but to let Holy Spirit lead on how He wants us to partner with His Word. God has promises for each and every one of us, but we have to be mindful to receive them by faith. I'll say, Kim had no idea when she got up to say that word this morning where this message was going, but God did. I'll say, Holy Spirit, speaking through her, prompted us to lean into the faith. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Not to look to the left, to the right, but to set our eyes on Him and focus on Him so strongly. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we do thank You for the measure of faith that You have given us. Lord, help us recognize Your words. Lord, help us not push past Your words, Lord. But God, help us embrace what You are saying, God, to Your church. Lord, give us the boldness to walk out Your words in faith. Lord, give us the boldness to pursue Your promises by faith, Lord. Lord, if we have a word that's on our heart even right now, God, Lord, we ask the question, what is it that you want us to do with this, Lord? Lord, give us a clear direction. Lord, give us just the first step even, just as you gave Abraham. And Lord, as we answer in faith, Lord, we pray for the next step and the next step to be revealed as well. So Lord, have your way in our lives, God. Lord, we give ourselves over to you. Lord, we glorify you in each and every word that we say. We glorify you with each and every action that we do as well. Lord, we thank you for your promises. Lord, we pursue them by faith in you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen.